Okay, so welcome everybody to our annual Chiddush El Shiurim. So I guess we have pros and cons of this format for the Chiddush El Shiurim. We usually have the opportunity to give them in the shul, the four Shabbosos during Elul, usually before a mincha. So although that does have the component of the live Shiurim, on the other hand, it's limited, or the people have this opportunity, we're going to have to branch out a little bit, so we're able to welcome everybody on board in terms of the shiurim. And we have the extra, of course, advantage of being able to record it as well. So I had already a latest asofik before we even begin the shiurim. I have a kasha, a sofik on the, not even on the topic of the shiur, but on the heading of the shiur. It says, Oratora Tov Shin Pei. So the question is, whether this is a Chodesh El shiur, whether this is a Hachanef Rosh Hashanah shiur. So Nafkamin is, whether it's Tav Shin Pei or Tav Shin Pei Aleph. So I guess it was my mistake that I wrote Tav Shin Pei, still thinking Tav Shin Pei. So I guess we're still going to call it an El shiur. But even though it is an El shiur, it's clearly going to be a gear towards a sugya relating to Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. And of course, we're going to take advantage of the opportunity this year, unique Rosh Hashanah, and that's a Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. We actually haven't had one of these in quite some time. I remember when I first became the Rav in Paramus, so I was there for the six Yom Narayims, and four out of the six happened to have been a Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbos. So by the time I got to the third or fourth year, I ran out of every possible drush and every shit to say about the topic. We've been in a little bit of a dry spell in terms of Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbos over the years. We haven't had one in quite some time, so I think we're ready to go in terms of reacquainting ourselves with the sugya. So the sugya of Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, of course, addresses the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar and the very first of the Mamakomos. So the Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Chav Tes Beis tells us, Yom Tov Shu Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, the Mikdash Hayu Token of Aloba Medina. The Mishnah is very, very clear that when Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, they only blew Shofar in the Beis Mikdash, and they did not blow Shofar in Medina. Now, although there's a little bit of a nuance of a Machlekes of Rishonim, how exactly to translate those two terms, where does Mikdash end and Medina begin? According to Rashi, Mikdash means literally the base of Mikdash. The Rambam has a little bit of a more expansive definition of Mikdash. It includes even Yushalayim, Halach Yushalayim. For our purposes, it doesn't make much of a difference. We're right now going to use the term Mikdash as referring to base of Mikdash. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us very, very clearly that Rosh Hashanah falls out of Shabbos like it does this year. So outside of the base of Mikdash for Medina, one does not blow shofar. So the Gemara raises the obvious question, but not immediately, where did this come from? The Torah tells us, there's a mitzvah Tkiyah Shofar. Where does it say in the Chumash that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow the shofar, but not immediately? So Amar Rabbi Levi bar Lachma, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. So the Gemara quotes in Amira, Rabbi Levi, who comes up with the following idea. There are two places in the Torah where we are the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar appears. One is in Parshas Achrimos, in the Parshas HaMoadim. One is in Parshas Pinchas, in the Parsha of Musafim. In one place, the Torah uses the phrase Yom Truah Yelochem. In Parshas Pinchas, the Torah says to blow the Truah. Yom Truah has to be a day of blowing. But in Parshas Emor, the Torah uses a little bit of a different phrase, somewhat of a vague phrase, Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. So what does that phrase mean, Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh? I had the unique opportunity this morning to think a little bit about this, because I had this chos of hearing Pashas Emor this morning, together with everything else from Pashas Tazria through Pashas Noso, because we finally finished today the Tashlumen for the Kriyas HaTorahs from a month gone by. So I was chasming a little bit, right in the laning, a little bit about the sugya of Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. So the Torah says, Zichron Truah, Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be a day of remembering the Truah. So it sounds like a little bit of a contradiction. In the one place, the Torah speaks about actual blowing, and another place, the Torah speaks about remembering blowing, talking about blowing, discussing blowing, but Zichron Truah doesn't conjure up the image of actual blowing. So which one is it? Are we supposed to be literally blowing the shofar? Are we supposed to just talking about the shofar? So Lokashi, the Gemara says, the way to resolve this contradiction is, Kan biyom teshechalias b'Shabbos, Kan biyom teshechalias b'chol, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that in fact it is not a Yom Truah, it is only a Zichron Truah. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on the Yom Chol on the weekday, then and only then is it a Yom Truah. So it's clear from this Gemara, at least at this stage, that this distinction between Shabbos and Chol is the real bona fide din min haTorah. It means we are not obligated, presumably we should not be blowing shofar min haTorah, according to the view of Rabbi Levi, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So the Gemara immediately questions this multiple levels, multiple questions against this opinion. If this is a real din min haTorah that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, Zichron Shu'at teaches me you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, so then why should there be a distinction in the base of Mikdash? Vishtag in the Pasuk, Mikdash is any different? Where does it say that Mikdash is different from Chutz LaMikdash? And the Ode, another question, Rabbi says, Halav Malachi, it's not a Malachi B'chol. If the Torah is exempting us and prohibiting us from blowing shofar on Shabbos, it must be that the Torah is referring to the fact that Tkiyah Shofar is a serious violation of Shabbos. It must be some kind of a Malacha. That is just not true. Halav Malachi, did you quote me that there wouldn't be a Malacha that would require a Pasuk to exempt it, to exclude it? The Tana Devei Shmuel, Kol Malachas Avayt L'Sasu, Yatzta Tkiyah Shofar D'Yasapas, Shichach L'Vayin Malacha. There are certain activities that are just not malachas. They are categorized what's called a chokhmah. They are a very skilled kind of an action. Not everybody knows how to blow shofar. Not everybody knows how to do radiyas apas. Radiyas apas is the scraping off, the removing of the bread off the sides of the oven. And you go sometimes, you have like demonstrations in Eretz Yisrael, like the big pitas still against the walls of the oven. So to be radiyas apas, it's a very, very hard skill to do. But technically speaking, it's not a Nisid Yerais in Shabbos. Just because something is very, very skilled labor doesn't necessarily translate to mean it's a malacha. If it's not one of the Lamedes malachas, well, it's not a malacha. So the Gemara says it doesn't make any sense to say that Tkiyah Shofar is excluded in the Torah on Shabbos. For both of these reasons, that number one, if it was really a din in the Torah, they don't blow shofar on Shabbos. So why should Mikdash be different? And number two, it's just not a Yerais. It's not a malacha. So there is no reason to believe that it should be excluded on Shabbos. So comes the Gemara and says, we have it all wrong. Rava makes it about face. Midaraisa meishreshari. Min haTorah, it's perfectly permissible to blow shofar on Shabbos. Not only is it permissible, you're required to. You're obligated midaraisa to blow shofar on Shabbos. Rabbanon hu dekozer bei. It is prohibited midirabbanon. Why did the Chama make this? Is it the Rabbanon midirabba diyam rabba? Hakol chayavim bitkiya shofar. Ve'enakol bitkiya bitkiya shofar. Everybody is obligated in the midst of Tkiyah Shofar. Not everybody knows how to blow. We are afraid that in the rush of things, the person is going to get so hit that he didn't hear the shofar. He's not going to be able to do it himself. He's going to run around town looking for somebody to teach him something to blow on his behalf. And he will inadvertently violate a malacha deraisa carrying down Amos and Rishus Arabim. So that's clearly, it is a skila. It's a very, very serious prohibition of Chil Shabbos deraisa, carrying for Amos and Rishus Arabim. And Chazal were concerned. They were very, very weary to let a person blow shofar less. If you let enough people blow shofar, then the odds are that one person is going to end up potentially violating this Issa deraisa. And the Gemara says, this is the reason behind the time of the lulav. This is the exact same reason why we don't shake lulav, where the calendar falls out. The first day of Sukkot is always the same day of the week as the first day of Rosh Hashanah. That's the reason why we're not going to shake a lulav this year on the first day of Sukkot. At the time of the Megillah, when Purim falls out on Shabbos, the way our calendar is set, Yudalid, other can never fall out on Shabbos, but Tesvav can, Shushan Purim can. If every once in a while I get like a message saying that the connection is not so stable, if there's any real significant deterioration in the quality, so Ron, I'm going to put you in charge, you're starting to wave, okay? So far, I think we're okay. But if you see any serious problems, let me know. Okay? Good. So that's the reason why we don't read the Megillah. And Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos as well. So basically, the Gemara had two possibilities to explain why we refrain from blowing shofar on Shabbos. The first possibility was it's a din deraisa, derived from Sukkim. And the Gemara rejected it for two reasons. The Gemara concludes the real reason is only midirabbanan. Parenthetically, Rabbi Willer commented to me a couple of weeks ago. He said that Hill Hasheni, when he set up the calendar, he's the one who's responsible for setting up the way the Yom Tovim are every single year. So he must have had a Shikul Ruch HaKodesh. But he knew what no one else in the world knew, that the Rosh Hashanah of Tavshin Pei Aleph would be a very, very good idea that it should be Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbos. Because this year, more than any other year, there's a potential somebody may carry the shofar. Because people are all kind of different minyanim and set up, so people may still be davening at home, and I don't know, who knows what's going on there. It's Israel and here, different nuances. So it's probably the biggest concern ever, the chashash of Shemi Avirena Dal Hamas Mishasarabim. So Hill Hasheni knew if a year's got to be, this is the year for it to be. So bottom line is that we're not blowing shofar this year. According to one opinion, the Gemara was it's a din min haTorah, but the Gemara seems to reject that outright. So even though the Talmud Bavli clearly rejects the view of Rabbi Levi, that view of Rabbi Levi makes an absolute comeback in the Yerushalmi. And if you take a look at the second of the Maamar Kamos, the Yerushalmi, also beginning of the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, the Yerushalmi presents the following discussion. The Abba Bar Papa related to us, Rabbi Yechon of Rishon ben Lakish, Havu Yesibun, Makshin, they asked the following question, Amrin, it's always hard to know exactly which words in the Rishon read together, but basically, they were asking the following question, Taninan, we learned in the Mishnah, Yomtiv Shem Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shamas, the Mikdash Ha'yot Tokav Alav Medina. So the same question that was bothering the Chachmei Bavel, the same tuple that was going on in Rava's days in Bavel, hundreds of miles away, was taking place there in Yisrael also. Everybody was bothered. Earlier, Rav Amaru and Rabbi Yechon Shlokish were asking the same question, how do we make sense of this Mishnah? How could it be in the base of Mikdash we blow and Chutz of Mikdash we don't blow? So they asked the following question, in Devar Torah, Af Begvulim Yitcheh, if min haTorah, you have to blow shofar in Shabbos, then we should blow shofar in Bergenfeld also, even Chutz LaMikdash. Ilesu Devar Torah, if it's not min haTorah to blow on Shabbos, Af BeMikdash Lo Yidochah, then why are we blowing on the base of Mikdash? Sounds like a very, very familiar question. This is exactly what Rava asked. That how in the world could there be a difference between the Mikdash and Chutz LaMikdash if it's a Dimin haTorah? Avar Kana Amrin Hagava Rabba Dinishale. They said that Rav Kahana arrived in Eretz Yisrael. This is a throwback to the Gemara. The end of Abba Kama tells us Rav Kahana arrived. He was a Talmud of Rav in Bavel. Then he made his way to Eretz Yisrael. So when he arrived, they said, a great man is coming. Inshallah, let's ask him what he thinks about this. Asun Shalom Lang. So he gave the following answer. Amalom. Kosev Echad Omer Yom Trua. Kosev Echad Omer Zichron Trua. Sounds very familiar. One Pasuk says that you have to blow the shofar. One Pasuk says you have to talk about the shofar. Zichron Trua. Haketzah. B'shah Shulcha B'chol Yom Trua. B'shah Shulcha B'shabah. Zichron Trua Maskin V'lot Token. So the answer is exactly what Rabbi Levi taught us in the beginning of the Sugya in the Bavli, that yes, this is a distinction in HaTorah. On Shabbos, you do not blow min HaTorah. On Yom Chol, you do blow min HaTorah. Yom Chol, you do blow min HaTorah. On Shabbos, you do not blow if you chutz l'mikdash. So the opinion that was rejected by Bavli is actually remained to be true, at least in the eyes of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. So of course, we still have a problem. Problem is that, well, why the distinction between Mikdash and Chutz LaMikdash? So here, whereas the Bavli did not answer the question and rejected the first view because of this very question, the Yerushalmi actually supports and gives us the ultimate answer to the difference between Mikdash and Chutz LaMikdash. If we continue on to the end of the second of Maamar Kamos, Tani Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Bikraft them, the Mokam Shekabon is Kriken. The words Yom Trua Yelachem Pashas Pinchas happen to be in Pashas Pinchas in the context of the mitzvah of Korban Musaf. As such, the Torah is telling us in Mikdash, in Karbonas, it's always Yom Trua Yelachem, no matter what. So the pilpul is in Zichron Trua, not Zichron Trua, should I blow, should I blow, that's Chutz LaMikdash. But in Mikdash, no matter what, 7 days a week, Yom Trua Yelachem. So when all the dust settles, everybody agrees to the Mishnah. You can't argue with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you blow. You blow a Mikdash, you don't blow a Medina. Why the difference? So according to the first opinion of the Gemara, which is ultimately the maskana, the conclusion of the Yerushalmi, it's a distinction between a Torah based on Pesukim, and Mikdash is a quirk, exerts a cost of that Mikdash you always blow, no matter what. According to what seems to be the maskana of Bavli, in a Torah there really is no difference between Mikdash and Chutz LaMikdash. The only reason why we differentiate is because in a Torah you really blow all the time. Mid the Rabbanon you don't blow because of a Gezebra. And presumably that gezeira doesn't apply to Mikdash, following the sugyas in the end of Masechet Erevin, ain't shvus b'mikdash. And many, many assumed the Rabbanim were lifted in the base of Mikdash, because there was less to be concerned of. There's the Sanhedrin, the Adonim's reason, the odds that a person is going to violate Chil Shabbos in the Mikdash itself is so unlikely. So the Chazal eased up certain restrictions, certain gezeiras, the Rabbanim, they eased the way at in the base of Mikdash. And this was one of them. So at the end of the day, everyone agrees we're not going to blow this year. The question is that a dimin haTorah? Is that a dimin haRabbanim? According to the Bavli, it's only a din min haRabbanan. According to the Rishalmi, it's a din min haTorah. So I want to spend a little bit of time today tonight's shiur, focusing on the Shitas HaYerushalmi, hopefully Beit Hashem, as the shiur continue for the next 3 weeks or so. So we'll have ample time to discuss the Bavli, but I want to give a little bit of time to the Yerushalmi. Again, it was a Havamin and Bavli rejected, but it is the Maskaras HaYerushalmi. There's a Dinman HaTorah that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos. And I want to understand what the nature of that Dinman HaTorah is all about. So we're going to have a Chakira, and then the Chakira is going to give birth to another Chakira. So I want to know, when we say that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, Min HaTorah, Zichron Tshuva Ksiv, does that mean that it's usur to blow shofar on Shabbos? The Torah is saying you're not allowed, and there's something wrong with blowing shofar on Shabbos? Was the Torah simply saying, you're putter from blowing shofar on Shabbos? You don't have to. You want to blow, it's okay, you want to do whatever you want. Go ahead and blow shofar. There's no mitzvah. You wouldn't fulfill a mitzvah by blowing, but it's not an issa per se. So when the Torah says, zichro trua, which the Rishami concludes to mean, is the Megala to me, talk to the psukim, say the malachas of the shofar, talk about the shofar, say whatever, do whatever you want, but don't you blow. What does it mean, don't you blow? That means you're not allowed to blow. What does that mean? That you're potter from blowing. It's almost Moshe Rabbeinu Bedoimah. We find other mitzvahs where the Torah gives us a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is only noeg and yimel sachol, but the Torah says, come Shabbos, don't do that mitzvah, or you're not mechuyav to that mitzvah. Such as the mitzvah of nochas tefillin. The Torah says, you have to put on tefillin every day, but wait, os, yotze Shabbos, os yom tov shem atzvin hois. The din is that you don't have to put on tefillin on Shabbos and yotze. What's the nature of that din? Does that mean that you don't have to put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Or is there some kind of an isser of putting tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? That's a big, big machlekes mishon of the poskim. So it's ke'ein that child that we're raising about the shofar again within the world of the Yerushalmi. According to the Bavli, it is the mut chakira. Within the world of the Yerushalmi, one can be machlekes, one can raise the question, is it osur or is it just part? The imtim tzilema that it's osur, now I want a further question. What's the nature of the isser? What kind of an isser is it? Is it an isser malacha? Means what the Bavli said, that blowing shofar is for sure not a malacha, we had a malacha. Is the Rishami saying, nope, you got it wrong, maybe it is a malacha. That it's also out the regular hilcha Shabbos, the regular din of a malacha Shabbos. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's some other new kind, newfangled isser. Let's say, going back to our original mashal of tefillin, even according to those who say that you're not allowed to wear tefillin in a Torah on Shabbos, nobody would say you have skila for putting on tefillin. Nobody would say that's which malach, what's the malach of putting tefillin on? What's the malach? So just because something is also to be done in Shabbos doesn't necessarily mean it's part of Lamed Tes Malachas. Maybe it's an issur b'fnei atzmai. So I really have a two-level chakira. I don't know whether this din of tekiyah shofar and Shabbos that is doesn't exist in the Torah. You're not supposed to be blowing shofar. You don't have to blow shofar and Shabbos in the Torah going through the Shabbos. I don't know whether it's a tour, whether it's an issur. And even if it's limited to this, I'm not sure what the nature of that issue is all about. So there is a sugi that appears in Maseches Chulin. It's actually a Mishnah in Maseches Chulin that begins to set the stage for answering some of these chakiras. So the Mishnah tells us in Chulin Dab Chavavam Beis, Chamakam sheyesh tekiya ein havdala, Chamakam sheyesh havdala ein tekiya. Under normal circumstances, when a regular Shabbos comes in, then, so it is comes in with tekiyos. Now, not the tekiyos shofar the way you used to, but the sheish tekiyos that the Mishnah here refers to, and the sugi elaborates in the second Megillah of Shabbos. Chazal instituted a whole series of different blowings of shofar right before Shabbos would begin, as like the sirens that go off in Eretz Yisrael, basically to remind people that Shabbos is about to start. So the Mishnah says, first it would be a whole series of earlier tekiyos to get the people out from the fields. We need a little bit more time. Then you had some tekiyos to get people to start closing up the stores, and to remind people to light candles. And then finally, they would have the last series of tekiyos. That would be the end. That would be the Knesset Shabbos. That was a special tekiyos of blowing those tekiyos, the special tekiyos to announce the arrival of Shabbos. How does Shabbos end? Shabbos ends with Havdalah. We said Havdalah. That's the end of Shabbos. So the Mishnah says that you can have sometimes situations where you have tekiyos and you don't have Havdalahs, or vice versa. So what does that mean? So one of the examples that the Mishnah gives is Yontif Shechalias B'Rav Shabbos. When you have Yontif that falls out on a Friday, so does it make sense to do Tekiyah Shofar on that Friday? So the answer is yes. Why? because you want to usher in the Shabbos. Why is it so important to usher in the Shabbos? So the truth is that the people are not out in the fields. Hopefully it's Yom Tov. People are not even in the stores. Hopefully it's Yom Tov. But there are things that people are doing that are permissible on Yom Tov, such as Echol Nefesh. And you want to remind people that, oh, Dutch, Shabbos is coming. Shabbos is going to be in a few minutes. So it makes sense to blow the tekiyas, even though it's a Yom Tov Shabbos, every Shabbos, you know, no one's at work anyway. But just to be the effect, get people to come to the realization that there are certain things that are about to become usher. So we do blow the shofar then. What we don't do is we don't make Havdalah. When you have a Yom Tov going to Shabbos, that would be pretty silly to make Havdalah. Havdalah is when you're saying goodbye to the higher level of Kedusha. So when you're going from a Yom Tov to a Shabbos, you're not saying goodbye. You're going up. Okay, you're ushering a high level of Kedusha. So it would be absurd to have Havdalah. So when you have a Yom Tov on Friday, talk about Havdalah. The opposite is true. When you have a Yom Tov on Motzei Shabbos, Yom Tov on Sunday, then you don't have to be Tekeah. What do you be Tekeah? Therefore, you have to stop people from doing that. It was Shabbos today. So what are you stopping people from doing? There are more things you can't do on Shabbos than on Yom Tov. But you have to be Mavdil, because when you're going down in Kedusha, then you have to accompany the Shabbos away, even though you're entering and you're ushering in a day of Kedusha also. But since you're going down in Kedusha, you have to make up though. So the Mishnah is very, very clear that when you have a Yom Tov on a Friday, they would do Tekiyah Shofar. So come a whole group of Acharenim, and others say, wait a second, hold the Mishnah says they blew shofar. This is not good Rosh Hashanah. This is Pesach Shavuos Tzokis. Not good Rosh Hashanah. You have a Yom Tov going into Shabbos Friday afternoon. They would take out the shofar, stand on the rooftops, and start blowing the shofar. I don't understand. According to the Rishonim, that there's an Isser Gomer Min HaTorah to blow shofar on Shabbos. You're not allowed to blow shofar in Shabbos. What is that telling me? It means basically Tekiyah Shofar is a malacha. That's the way many Achronim present the question. Basically, Tekiyah Shofar is something that's not supposed to be done on Shabbos. Now, if it's a malacha, it's a malacha for Yom Tov as well. Now, don't ask me a kasha, how could you blow shofar on a weekday? That's a silly question, because the Torah says Yom Tov Elochem. So if you hold that Tekiyah Shofar is basically fundamentally an activity that's prohibited, maybe Shabbos, maybe Yom Tov, it must be that the Torah is telling me Yom Tov Elochem for the mitzvah Tekiyah Shofar Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to, in a sense, violate the system. Esi dechalosa, whatever you want to call it. The Torah is saying that whatever Isra is involved in the blowing of a shofar is nidche because of the mitzvah of Yom Tov. But that makes sense when it's Rosh Hashanah morning in shul and you're trying to be yotzei Yom Tov. What in the world is the grandiose mitzvah that you're trying to perform on Shavuos afternoon? And Shavuos falls out on a Friday, like this past year. Shavuos fell on a Friday, going into Shabbos. So we're going to do, we're going to blow away the shofar in front. Mechateis. So if the Rishami really truly believed that the blowing of shofar is an issa malacha, the chol tokfa, and the only reason why it's mutter Rosh Hashanah is because of Yom Tov Elochem, how in the world did the Chachmei Rishami, how did they meet this Mishnah? So come the Achrayim and say one thing is crystal clear from this Mishnah in Chulin, that there's no way in the world for anybody to say that blowing shofar is a real bona fide malacha. That would be Osir Ben Mishabbos Ben Yom Tov for the exception of Rosh Hashanah. That's impossible position to maintain. Okay, so now we rejected that position. Now what? Where do we go from here? Just because we've proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that Malach is not, Lamentas Malach is nish, even according to the Rishami, how do we understand what the nature of Tekiyah Shofar on Shabbos is all about? Why is it Osir? If it's not a Malacha, why is it Osir? What's the nature of this Isser? What's the take of this Isser of Zichron Trua? Assuming that it's an Isser, what's the nature of this Isser? So one of the Acharonim in the back of the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the Mitzvah Esa, one of the Acharonim, makes reference to a Tosfos in Masechet Pesachim and Daf Hamad Beis. Take a look at the, I think it's chopped off in terms of number, but it's supposed to be, should be number 4. The Tosfos of Masechet Pesachim. Oh, it says the number 4. The end of the Ma'amar. Okay, it's not considering. So number 4, Tosfos of Masechet Pesachim of Hamad Beis. The Oida Meriva. The Lamad Yom Alav Yotza. The Hoya Osa B'Yom Tov Kevah the Ein Shem Alocha Lev. The Riva is making reference to a following machlokes. It's a famous machlokes at Tanoim. But how to understand Pshat Pasuk in Parshas Vayakel? The Torah says that Lo Sevaru Eish B'Chol Mosh Rosechem B'Yom Hashabbos. Which is a big problem, a big cash. Why does the Torah have to say, did they use fire in the Mishkan or not? So the answer, of course they used fire in the Mishkan. If they used fire in the Mishkan, So I know whatever it says the Mishkan, I'm not allowed to do Sasakum Malacha. Sasakum Malacha, we have a tradition, we have Messiah that means Malachas and Mishkan. So if it was used in the Mishkan, it's also, so why does it have to say Losavar Esh Bechamosh Sechem and Mishavas? I know it, I could have figured it out on my own. So what's the significance of this pasuk? So one Tana says that Losavar Esh Bechamosh Sechem, Havara is not any different from any other Malacha. The only reason why the Torah singles us out is to highlight that each Malacha is a separate, independent Isser. One shouldn't think, this is the way Rashi explains in the Gemara, or the one place Rashi writes, one would have thought that maybe only over Shabbos if you do all 39 Malachas. That would have been a great Havamina. It's only Mechal Shabbos if you pull off all 39. First of all, you have to know how to do all 39. Half the Malachas, you have no idea what they are. There's all the Oireg Malachas, all the Oiseh Shnebat Nirin. We never clue how to do them. I guess every 25 years, I go for a Chazara on Hilchah Shabbos. So we went back a couple of weeks. We went on a trip with the family. We have very limited way to go on trips these days. So we went away for a couple of days. And on the way back, we came back to Massachusetts. And we stopped at Surbridge Village again. So it's a permanent Hilchah Shabbos in the past. No, one of my all-time favorite trips. Because they show you what life was like in the early 1800s. And you get a chance to actually see Hilchah Shabbos come to life. So once again, I was looking at a Shnei Batei Nirin. I was looking at the Malach of Tzeveya. And I was asking the same questions. I remember the last time I went, we had just gotten married a few months before, so I mean, I could date it. It's almost 26 years already since we went on the 25 plus years since we went on that last trip. I don't think anything has changed in Surbridge Village over the years. I don't think Shabbos hasn't changed much. Although it's interesting when we came home that night, so I was showing my kids the pictures. I found pictures in an old album. From the last trip around, so to see what we looked like 25 years before. So one of my kids was my orer that the people who are working there are the kids probably of the people who worked the last generation. Things haven't changed that much either. So the good news is, or the bad news is that we paskin that in order to be mechal Shabbos, even if you do one malacha, b'chayev, you don't have to do all 39 malachas in order to be chayev. So that's what the Gemara calls. Havara l'chalik yatzis. Havara comes to tell me that each malach is a separate, independent aveira in of itself. Other Yishevim have different shots than what I would have thought without the pasuk. But the bottom line is, the pasuk teaches me that each and every malach is viewed on its own merits. And if I do one malach, I'm chayif in that one malach. If I do five malachas, I have to bring five chatoses. So each and every malach is a separate entity. That's what the mandiyam l'chalik yatzis says. And the other Tana says, no. But the reason why the Torah spells out Havara is to teach me something fascinating. That Havara is actually the lowest level of Chil Shabbos. Havara is not Chayav Skila. Havara is not Chayav Karis, only Chayav Malchus. If I would ask most people, take a survey, what's the ultimate Malacha? What's like the worst Chil Shabbos you can do? Everyone would say, strike a match. It's like, you can't get worse than that. So according to one Tana, if you have to, if, between that and removing watermelon seeds, maybe it's better to strike the match than to remove the one. Okay, maybe the watermelon seeds is also another time, another place. So according to one Tana, Havara l'laviyot, that's the lowest rung of the Lamites Malachas. So that's why the Torah singles it out to say that it's not so bad. So we happen not to pass like that. Right? We have to pass in the Chalik. But Tosfos in Tzachim of Hemibes is discussing a sugya because the Gemara raises the question of the Chalik versus the Lav. And the Riva, for the purposes of that sugya, make the following observation. The Riva makes the observation that if you would hold the laviyotzos, again, the sheet that we reject, if you would hold the laviyotzos, then there would be nothing wrong with lighting a fire in Yontif. It would be hetke gomor lechatchil b'chayot to light fires on Yontif. Why? The aim shem alocha leha. It's not a malocha. Therefore, it's mutra on Yontif. What does that mean? So clearly, the Riva is not saying that it's mutra because of Eichel Nefesh or Toch, other reasons. The Riva said exactly what he says. What does this Riva mean? So clearly what the Riva is telling us as follows. That there are two halachas of Yisurim and Vilcha Shabbos. There are two radically different kinds of Yisurim and Shabbos. There are the Lamites Malachas, and then there's everything else. There are many, many things, in the Torah, you're not allowed to do in Shabbos, but are not Malachas. Say, for example, going to one Tana, walking out of the Tchum, is an Issur D'Orais in Shabbos. You don't really pass like that, at least to some degree. Well, let's say there's an Issur D'Oraisa of your animals do work on Shabbos. You're not chayav skila for that. You're not chayav koris for that. There are a lot of things in Shabbos you're not allowed to do min haTorah, but they're not called malacha. Malacha, the lamites malachas, but the opposite of the toldos, that's it. It's also right no more. There are many, many other things in Shabbos that are usur, albeit min haTorah, but they're not shem malacha. So the Rival says that the rule is whatever is a malacha cannot be done on Yom Tov. Kol malachas aved nosasim, unless it's echal nefesh, b'tach, tzarchayot, that's a different category. Those were the last shurim. Those were the two Pesach Shavuot shurim, if I'm not mistaken. That was the echal nefesh, b'kuch nefesh shurim from a few months ago. But short of echal nefesh, v'chayot zibam, if it's also a malacha on Shabbos, it's also to be done on Yom Tov as well. But what if it's not a malacha altogether? What if it's an issa b'fnei atzmo? It's an issa b'yalma. If it's an issa b'yalma, so that's only Yasser and Shabbos. It's not Yasser on Yom Tov. That's the Rival says. And again, for us, it doesn't make much of a difference because we pass in Avara is a regular malacha. But Yom Tov Tzolomi, it's the law of Yatzos that it would be mutter on Yom Tov. So this Tosfos, by the way, is very, very mechudosh for another reason. Because Chinuch has a cash against this Tosfos. I don't understand. All the Avara, the law of Yatzos. Why do you think that means it's not a malacha? Maybe it's a malacha with a free pass. It's a malacha without an issacharis. It's a malacha without an issachima. It was in the Mishkan. It's not like tchumen. Tchumen has nothing to do with a malacha. Tchumen is an issa b'fnei atzmo lagamri. You want to tell me there's no tchumen on Yom Tov b'nafarach min makabel? Rashi in one place says such a thing. Rashi in one place disagrees. And Rashi in one place seems to say that. You want to tell me a story that there's no tchumen on Yom Tov b'makabel? You want to tell me there's no issa shvisas behema on Yom Tov? The Ramah says, okay, what do you accept? You don't accept it. Echmin makam. But to tell me that there's no havara on Yom Tov because it's not a malacha, ask the Chesidah, how did Tais have to be found? No, it's not a malacha. It's a malacha. It was in the Mishkan, but it has a p'tur to it. Kasha from the Chesidah. It's a good kasha, but obviously the Ravah disagreed with the kasha. Obviously the Ravah understood. Ravah to Chidushim. Ravah held. It's not a malacha. And since it's not a malacha, the mail, it's not going to be asur on Yom Tov. Comes this Achav of the Mitzvah Eson and says he thinks that this Tosfos is the key to understanding Yerushalmi and Esrog. The Torah says Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. So there comes the Torah Shema Ped where Yerushalmi is interpreting these Pesukim and saying Zichron Trua. This Pesuk refers to Shabbos, and the Torah is saying don't blow shofar on Shabbos. The Torah is not just saying you don't have to. Yerushalmi, the way the Mitzvah Eson is assuming. The Torah is saying you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. What's the nature of that issur of not blowing a Shabbos? Is it a malacha? No. What is it? It's like tchumen. It's like shvisas behema. It's like havar leman diyam lelav yotzos. It's an issur Shabbos or b'shalav yotzos malacha. They didn't blow shofar as part of the construction of the Mishkan. So blowing shofar is not a malacha. It's an issur gomam in the Torah on Shabbos. But guess what? According to the Riva, something that's an issur b'fnei atzmo on Shabbos, not b'dorish malacha, does not carry over to Yom Tov. Ain't in Shabbos the Yom Tov refers to Hilchas Malachas. Doesn't apply to Shvisas Behema. Doesn't apply to Tchumen. Doesn't apply to Paralavi Yatzos. And it doesn't apply to the Isser of Zichron Trua according to the Rishalmi. Now, Mishnah in Chul and Rizekachon, Yom Tov Shechal Yisbev Shabbos taken. There's nothing wrong when Shavuos falls out on Friday. It's Mutalachet Chidu. Blow Shofar. Why? Where's the Isser? You want to tell me a story that it's awesome and absurd to blow Shofar and Shavuos because Zichron Trua Ksiv? It's honest. What do you mean Zichron Trua? Zichron Trua just means there's an Isser to blow shofar on Shabbos. So they should do a lot of things on Shabbos. Don't spill over to Yom Tov. So this Yushami has no bearings whatsoever on Yom Tov. On Shabbos it's also, but not on Yom Tov. According to the Yushami, with this beer, when the Torah says to blow shofar on Yom Tov in Rosh Hashanah, it's not saying, well, it's also, but we want you to do it anyway. No. The Issa was never said on Yom Tov. There never was an Issa from day one to blow shofar on Yom Tov. The Issa of Minat Torah, according to Yisham, was only to blow shofar on Shabbos. So at least we have a beer in the Yisham, one possible beer in the Yisham, that there is an Issa, it's an Issa of the Araisa, but the nature of the Issa of the Araisa is not the Teres Malacha, but the Teres Issa of Neatzmai, and going to be Ikvas the Riva, something that's an Issa of Neatzmai wouldn't spill over to it. But perhaps we can go down a different path of this Rishalmi. Perhaps we give a little bit of a different beer in this Rishalmi. Why? Yes, there's an Issa Gomim in a Torah according to Rishalmi to blow shofar in Shabbos. And still, the Mishnah and Chulin would not be a violation of that Issa. We need a little bit of a background. That's actually the next Rishalmi, Maramakam number 5. Rishalmi in the 5th Berech Masechus Brachas has the following comment. It's at the top of the 2nd page of the Makaris. Kamada Omar also lasas malacha at Shiyavdil. We all know that one is not allowed to do malacha before one recites Havdalah is the sugya at the very end of Masechet Shabbos. The big machlokes we showed him what the nature of Sisera is. It's only nisim and rabbanim bepashtus to do malacha ashi yavdil, the different reasons why. But the Rishonim has a startling statement. The Rishonim says that just as you're not allowed to do malacha ashi yavdil, with the kavasah also only adam litvayet tzurachav ashi yavdil. So too, you're not allowed to ask for tzurachav. You're not allowed to ask for your own personal needs until you recite Havdalah. And according to Rishonim, that's the reason why we introduce the Havdalah, the first Havdalah, we recite two Havdalahs. The Gemara says in the Fifth Pecha Brachas, in the old days they used to just be mafdu with tefillah, and then when they got the richer, so Chazal instituted Havdalah Leyayin. In the old days, they couldn't afford wine. It's hard enough to get wine for Kiddush, so they didn't want to be much rich with the month, so they said Havdalah with tefillah, tachar and tana is good enough. Then when they were able to afford it, so they upped the ante a little bit, and they said that mafdu with tefillah, it's actually Havdalah Leyayin as well. So that's what we do. We make Havdalah first and tefillah like the old days, and then afterwards we recite Havdalah Lakos. So according to many Rishonim, once you recite the first Havdalah Tachan Tani, you're already allowed to do malacha. So most people have that practice. Not everyone agrees, but most have that practice. So the Rishonim is assuming that the same way you're not allowed to do malacha until you're mavdil, you're not allowed to ask for tzracha about yavdil. So therefore you have to stick the Tachan Tani into the first brach of the Shemoneh Esrei, because the first few brachas are Shavach, we say those brachas on Shabbos also, but according to Rishonim, it would be an Issa Gomor to be Shol Tzrachav, you're not allowed to ask for Bekashas Tzrachav on Shabbos, so therefore, to start off the davening, you should be doing that. So they stick in the first words, Atachon Ardas Bam Lashmina, that's not a Bekash, it's just a statement. Before you say the first Bekash, Chanein Amircha, so you're sticking right away, Atachon Ardas, you recite about the Kodesh L'chol. That's what Rishonim says. So the Bavli doesn't say that. The Bavli never ever records any such kind of isser of Asr al-Mutra Tzirach Bachi Yavdil. Bavli says the reason why we say Atachan Antanu in the Brach of Abdullah is because you require Das in order to be Mavdil. So there's a Shaychas one to another. But the Rishonim says no, there's a much more profound reason that you're not allowed to start davening Shemoneh Esrei on Matzei Shabbos until you're Mavdil first, because there's an Issa Gomer of Asr al-Mutra Tzirach Bachi Yavdil. Not only does the Bavli not mention anything about this Isser of Bechashas Tzirach of Kedem Shiyavdil, or for that matter on Shabbos itself, but anything the Bavli clearly doesn't accept it. The Bavli in the sixth of the Mamre Komos has the following discussion in Brachas Av Chafal Ha Menalef Yom Rav Yudah B'Shmuel. Haya Oimei B'Tfil, a person in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, nothing to do with Shabbos, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, V'Niskash Yisbal, he's halfway through Shemoneh Esrei, oh my goodness, I damned early. It happens sometimes, the guy davens it early in the Minchah Gedolah at 1:30 to sum up. Then he forgot to daven Minchah. He comes 8:30 to daven Minchah again. He's halfway through Shemoneh. Like, golly, 7 hours ago, I davened Minchah before. What do you do? So the din is, Pesach, you have to stop right dead in your tracks. Afilu b'yam tzibracha. Even if your mom is in the middle of a bracha. So we should have bothered with the question, why can't you just switch gears to tilos nedava? We know that if a person knows they already davened, they want to daven voluntary davening. It's perfectly okay. Tefillas Nedava, you're allowed to daven. So why don't you just switch in the middle? So that's what the Rambam writes. But you have to pick and choose. You can either bring a korban chayva or a korban nedava. You can't bring a korban that's half and half. So your tefillah is either b'teres chayva or b'teres nedava. You can't have a halfway tefillah. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, you have to stop right in the middle of the bracha, really? Inni Vamar of Nachman, ki avidan be rabba b'ravua. And we used to be in the house of Rabbi Avua Bon Minei. We used to ask the following shayla: Hani b'nei be'rav, the toh mitkrei dechol b'shabbos. Every once in a while, the Tamidim, they weren't so careful, and they would forget that it was Shabbos. They were in the middle of davening. They'd start to daven, and then all of a sudden they find themselves with Einu Hashem. Oh my goodness, my golly, it's Shabbos today. So they would be davening the whole Tikkun Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos. Now she ignored them. So should they finish the bracha or not? So b'amalan gaming kaloisa bracha. So Rabbi would tell us that if you're already in the middle of a bracha, finish up that bracha itself. Moses says, wait a second, when it comes to a guy who already daven, we say to him, stop, mamash, then his tracks, don't even finish the bracha, it's a bracha levatallah. Whereas here, when a guy is davening, also presumably a bracha levatallah, he's davening a weekday, Shemoneh Esrei and Shabbos, we tell him, no problem, you start the bracha, finish the bracha. Moses says, no, it's not a kash, ochi ashtah. Hosam gavar bachiyuvu, v'rabbanan hudlo atrachum ishim kovit shabbos, v'al hocha hatzor. When it comes to weekday davening on Shabbos, you're really davening an appropriate tefillah. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with davening weekday tefillah on Shabbos. You're mechuyev to daven, so you're supposed to be davening anywhere weekday tefillah. So why don't we daven a full Shemoneh Esrei, the full 19 brachas on Shabbos? We should cover Shabbos. means you want people to should have to tircha, cut the davening short a little bit. Imagine we're trying to cut down the davening. So when we think of cutting down davening, we think of cut a couple of mishaberachs, you know, we'll cut off the rabbi's drasha, you know, do the mustafa mishmas, so all the things that we're used to cutting. But again, they cut out the shmoneh esrei, they cut out three quarters of shmoneh esrei. The people shouldn't have such a tircha mishum kavod shabbos. So comes the and says, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with davening a weekday shmoneh esrei on Shabbos. So therefore, the guy made a mistake and thought he got halfway through a bracha. No, nishkefelach. Let him finish up the bracha. It's not a real bracha levatam. Aval hachat soleilei. But when it comes to a guy daven mincha ready, when you daven mincha at 1:30, and now you daven 8:30, it's mamash bracha levatala. So how could we sanction finishing the bracha? You can just finish the bracha, make another bracha levatala. It's bad enough you made the first six brachas levatala, make the seventh bracha levatala. So you have to stop that in your tracks. So it's clear from the Gemara that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with davening weekday shmoneh esrei on Shabbos. This is definitely at odds with Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi said, not only are you not allowed to daven a weekday shmoneh esrei on Shabbos, you're not even allowed to daven a weekday shmoneh esrei on Matzoh Shabbos until you said Havdalah. So you have to say Tachon and Tano to be matter the Issa Gomer of davening a weekday Shabbos, which they would probably just went right by the Chachmei Bavli. So they never heard such a thing. There is no such Issa. So clearly there's machlokes taking place in Chachmei Bavli, Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, about what does that take on the Tevet Rachav on Shabbos? Is there anything fundamentally wrong with being Tevet Rachav on Shabbos? Or no? The Tevet Rachav is fundamentally okay. It's not the nicest thing coming Shabbos and Tirchav Tzibur, you know, those kinds of things. So we're going to cut it down a little bit, but it's not us a person. So we're going to have to pick this up and get to Shem next week, where this Machlokes is the Bavli Yerushalmi sets the stage for a famous beer of the Rav, as to how to understand what's going on in Aser Gift Kishav. We have identified a machlokes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi about the blowing of shofar and Shabbos. The Bavli assumes the maskanas advarim that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with blowing shofar and Shabbos. In fact, obligated in the Torah to do so. It's just a gezeirah mid the rabbanan not to. Whereas according to Yerushalmi, there's something profoundly wrong, and according to many, profoundly osur about blowing shofar and Shabbos, and we can't quite pinpoint what that isur is. So we thought, it must be some kind of an Issa Malacha. So read the Mitzvah Eisan proved to us it can't be an Issa Malacha because then it would be Asa and Yom Tov and the Mishnah Chulin wouldn't make any sense. So it's got to be something that's not an Issa Malacha. What is the Issa? So the Mitzvah Eisan said it's an Issa, Zichron Truach, Sivyam Shodan, it's an Issa B'Yama, whatever you want to call the Issa, it's an Issa B'Yama that doesn't carry over to Yom Tov. So perhaps we could suggest that there's a little bit more to it than that. It's not just an Issa B'Yama, but there is some deeper connection between this machlekes the Bavli Yerushalmi in the beginning of the fourth Rosh Hashanah and this machlekes the Bavli Yerushalmi in the Sechas Brachas about what that take is in general about tefillas and tefillas terachav and those kinds of things on Shabbos. Hopefully, next week we'll try to pick up with that. So as we've tried to do in the past, we try to dedicate the last couple of minutes of the El Shurim to a little different chizuk, the Yisayrus. In some years, so we've gone through the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva. We never ever finished Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva because we just simply run out of time. There were actually some years where we decided that we started, we made it, maybe we made it to Perek Beis, and then after Yom Kippur, I said, you know what, how can we stop with Hilchos Teshuva just because Yom Kippur's over? We have to keep on going. So we spent the whole year, a couple of years ago, we went through there, kept on going, just kept on rolling through Hilchos Teshuva. So I know sometimes when we start Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, so we don't get so far. I figured, you know what? Why don't we go backwards? So we'll start from the end this year, and that way between last year and this year and next year, so maybe we'll try. There's no din of an Issa Kriyah L'Mafreya. Kriyah L'Mafreya applies to Kriyas HaMegillah, to Halal, to Kriyas Shema. There's nothing wrong with learning the Rambam Chashuva backwards. It doesn't always read smoothly because sometimes the Rambam continues in one breath what he was talking about in the past. But we're going to try to focus on, I don't know how far we'll get this year. We'll try with the last four prachim. That's a very noble gesture. I think we're going to finish each parak each week. I don't think we're anywhere near each parak each week. But at least we'll start. So those who happen to have a Rambam available to them quickly can follow along inside. It's the Rambam. It's in Sefer Madra. It's in Hilchos Teshuva. We're going to be with Parak Zion. So the Rambam begins for Zion, Halach Aleph, Hol Rishus Kol Adam Nesuna Lo Kamo Shebiyarno. Here the Rambam makes reference to what I just spoke about in the last part, that the idea of Bechir Chofshis is the basic Yisaydis of Amunah. The Rambam spends all of Perek Hay and Perek Vav discussing this. In Perek Vav, he actually addresses the fundamental question that there are many, many psukim in Chumash and Tanakh that seem to almost undermine this principle of Bechira Chavshis. Primarily the psukim about Paro and other people, where Kadosh Baruch seems to be mechazik, lev of certain Rishayim. The Rambam has much to say about this back. Those who want to take a look at their own back in Perek Vav. But in Perek Zayin, the Rambam continues from where we left off really in Perek Hay, that the idea of Rishus, the Sunuch Haladam, is a double portion of Noid. Of course, we have Bechira Chavshis, and the Torah says black and white. Etc. That's clear as day. So because that is true, says the Rambam, Yishtapel Adam Lasas Tshuva. So therefore, a person should use that as an engine to drive him, because B'Tshuva. He shouldn't take the attitude that, well, it's not B'Yodi anyway. I'm fate. I'm destined to my fate to be a Russian. That's anything. And therefore, V'Liner Kapa V'Chatov, person should try to clear himself, clear his hand, clear his very existence from chet. Because the goal is, when time comes, will be about tshuva, because that will ultimately be the path for eternity, for the next world. La'olam, the Rambam writes it in Halacha Beis, la'olam yira adam mis'atzmo kilu note lamus. Mindset. We never know how long we're going to live. Again, this doesn't mean that we're supposed to walk around with a morose, walk around with a, you know, depressed a look. That's clearly not in sync with our Avedis Hashem, the Simcha of Levav. But nevertheless, there's a certain degree of seriousness a person should always have. And should realize that life is very, very fragile. A person never knows, never knows. The Shemi Yomos B'Shaito. So if a person walks around with that feeling and it gets him down and it prevents him from davening and learning and smiling and being in a good mood and he's irritable, so then you know it's the Yitzhahara talking. Very often the Yitzhahara knows how to, quote Rambams. The Yitzhahara knows how to learn, unfortunately, too good. Sometimes people say Yitzhahara knows how to learn better than the Yitzhahara. So the Yitzhahara also knows this Rambam. It says, gets you really, really down. Life is depressing. Life is miserable. You know, you don't want to get up in the morning. That's not what this Rambam is saying. Ram is saying that you have to have that awareness that a person therefore it should be something that should spur you on. Don't delay. Don't say I got time to be chaz b'tshuva. Tshuva, that's when I get older. When I'm 95, nothing else to do. So then I'll be chaz b'tshuva. No, Shem Yom is chashyaskin. Don't have any assurances of how long we're going to be in this world. That's what Shlomo HaMelech meant. Says in Gehillis that your clothing should always be white and you should always have oil on your head. You should always be ready to go. Always be ready. You never know what's going to happen. Now the Rambam Halacha Gimel. The Al Toimen, don't make the terrible mistake about tshuva. She'ena tshuva ela mi'aveira she'esh ben ma'aseh. People think that tshuva is for averus of action. That is true, but not entirely true. There's a lot more to the picture than meets the eye. Don't think that tshuva is only for averus against nus, v'gazel, geneva. Those are the givens, says the Rambam. Everybody knows you have to be chayz b'tshuva for those kinds of things. You want to know what you really have to be chayz b'tshuva, the much, much harder tshuva, says the Rambam, and l'chem gimel kishem shetzarech adam losher b'yelu. Same way that a person has to be chayz b'tshuva from these, kach utzorach lechapes b'deos rose sheyesh lo v'loshu mehen. He has to look, lechapes, check, to look, like v'kif chomet, in the nooks and crannies, you have to look in the deos rose. Person has not just thoughts that are not in sync with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be. Loshim ahead and change the mindsets. Changing mindsets, that's a much, much greater avodah. Say, oh, from Yisrael Salant, he said, it's much easier to learn Shas. It's not so easy to learn Shas. I don't know if he meant Dafyomi or not, but it's much easier, he said, to learn Shas. It's not so easy to learn Shas Dafyomi. No one should be insulted. It's a lot of work. It's much easier to learn Shas than it is to change one either. That's what we have to do. Yesh Loshim ahead, Minakas. Then the Ram gives you a list of some of the Minakas, anger. We know. A throwback that we quoted before the pasuk of Sivar Eish b'chomosh v'seichem yom Shabbos. So the Zayir HaKodesh says on that pasuk, there's an isser b'fnei atzmoi to get angry on Shabbos. In addition to the isser of getting angry all year long, all week long is an isser to get angry. You list kind of way Chazal against anger. Anger is a terrible, terrible thing. But the Zohar says on Shabbos, it's a fire burning inside you on Shabbos. I've said this many, many times. It's a strange thing that usually what gets a person most angry on Shabbos, because Friday afternoon was a total disaster and no one's ready for Shabbos and everyone's screaming. You're screaming at your wife screaming at you, the kids are screaming at you, everyone's screaming at each other. What are they all screaming? It's work magic time. Go! It's time to light candles. So why do you have to light candles on Friday? Because because you can't light candles on Shabbos, you got to make sure to light the candles on before. So what does the Yetzer Hara do? So the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, quotes the Pasuk, and as everybody's screaming at each other, knowing full well that in order to fulfill those Sabar Eish, not to light fire on Shabbos, they get you with the Zayar's Pshat. The Yetzer Hara is not only a Lamed, he's a Mekubal also. He knows Kabbal also. He knows Zayar's. He's over 40 years old. He's much older. He's been around for a long time, the Yetzer. So the Satan knows the Zayas also. So Barish B'chomish Rosechim and Shabbos. So Minah Eva, from enmity, Minah Kimna, from jealousy, the Tachros, Minah Hito, from unnecessary joking around, some like Sonus, Min Redifas Hamamun. Rambam then talks about a whole series of things that people are rodef after. Rambam is running after Redifas Hamamun. Also forget, there's a mitzvah to make a parnas to support your family. But redifas mamon, you have to run after it. You have to walk after it. You have to run after it. You have kavod. The person's road if you have to kavod. By the way, the Amar Chazal, the road if after a kavod, kavod runs away from him. If you berech min a kavod, then the kavod follows you. It's a story, somebody came to his rav and he said, I don't understand. I've been spending my entire life running away from kavod and it never caught up with me. The rav responded to him, because when you were running away, you always had your, always turn back to make sure that it was catching up. You're all different. A cover means you got to run away and you don't want it to see. But if you always see, maybe it's making some, ooh, Baruch Hashem, I'm slowing down my old age. The cover's catching up with me. That's not called Baruch Hashem. Umredifas habacholos. Person has to not run after food. You're allowed to eat food. It's okay. You're allowed to eat food. Food's mutter. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to eat food. Like a bracha. It's okay. You're allowed to eat. You don't have to be real day for machamacholos. It's slower. You don't eat every dish at the shmoneh sport. Half the dish at the shmoneh sport. The day for it has to be real day. Achar machalos. It's good mussar for, and of myself, I took a good mussar over the last couple of weeks. So the weddings have been a little bit different. So sometimes in the old days, 6 months ago, you went to a wedding, you come to a big shmogus board, Yad HaMelech, you can look around, take from everything. Now you have to look around, you have to make sure, until you hand the plate to the person behind the 16 plexiglasses, until you make sure, until you find the fork, that no one's come anywhere near in the last 3 hours, until you get a little bit of food, then it's a little small, tiny portion, and then you have to find a corner to eat it, where you can take your mask off for 30 seconds to eat something, wait, wait. It's not even worth it anymore. It's not even kedai. So the redifas hamacholos also has to cut down a little bit. Min hakol tzorach la'achzer b'tshuva. First, has to be chazer b'tshuva from everything. That redifas hakavod, redifas tanug yolam hazeh. You're allowed to partake of these things. Food is okay, and maybe kavod not so good. Certain things are okay, but it doesn't have to be one's primary goal in this world. Min hakol tzorach la'achzer b'tshuva. The Eila Venus and the Rambam almost like throws his hands up and says, the little krechts. The Eila Venus kashim the association mindset. These Averis are much, much more difficult to change than an action. You know, a person did an action, did something bad. It's a gazlan. He did something bad. He cheated. He did something bad. Okay, it's bad. It's because of a shuv, and you can stop. But these are much more difficult. Shibizman, Shahadam, Yishka, Be'elo. These are mindsets. After a person gets stuck in these things, kashu the front very, very hard. Shuvah from machshavos as well. Shuvah is not only from ma'isim, shuvah is from machshavos. So the Rambam in the first three halachas has impressed upon us the significance of shuvah, the importance of being chayz b'tshuvah, not to wait till it's too late to be chayz b'tshuvah. And you have to take on the hard things as well, also critical, even more critical, take on the machshavos or be chayz b'tshuvah. So now the Rambam got us all charged up, all excited about tshuva. Rambam's going to continue in Halacha Daled about how a person shouldn't be depressed by tshuva, shouldn't be discouraged, shouldn't think, it's impossible to do tshuva, and even if I do tshuva, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still going to be upset at me for the averus in the past, and the Rambam is going to tell us in Halachas Daled, and further on about the Gemayla, tshuva is such a beautiful, positive, wonderful gift. It's a tremendous gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the Shabbat and Latar, the gift of tshuva. So in the first three halachas, he's getting us ready to go. Then Halacha Daled, and hopefully Mitzvah will continue with Halacha Daled next week. He's going to tell us just how great, what one can accomplish if one fulfills the Mitzvah Shuvah problem. Okay, wish everybody a good vach. Hopefully Mitzvah see everybody continue. Hopefully we'll see people before next week. But those are some people I may not see for the next couple of days. So hopefully Mitzvah will see everybody again next week as well. Okay, have a good vach.